The scripture lesson I've chosen, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 20. Hebrews 11, 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, or for Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's Hebrews 11, 20 through 27. The study today that we're going to be talking about is two pairs of overcomers, and we'll mention what they are, and then we will go on to notice how they were overcomers and what they overcame. We are overcomers. In other words, we're every day of our lives we overcome in some way temptations, distractions, discouragements, and all that comes our way, the problems of life. We are overcomers. When it was mentioned, Isaac, it says by faith, and remember, always when we use the word faith, we're using in the sense that Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If anybody did anything by faith all the way through this chapter, it meant that they had heard, and that they were doing the will of God. And following him and his word rather than their own. So, when we read about Isaac, it was faith that caused him to overcome the will of the flesh. Jacob, by faith, overcame the will of man. Moses and his parents, through faith, overcame the fear of man. And Moses, through faith, overcame the praise of men. So you see that all these two pairs of overcomers, all of them overcame something through faith. And the first ones that are mentioned here in the scripture lesson we read was Isaac. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And you need to go back to Genesis. And the 25th chapter there is the one that we want you to notice, the 23rd verse, 25th chapter and 23rd, that it said that the elder would serve the younger. This was a prophecy concerning these boys. And so 25:23, it says that the children struggled in Rebekah, that she had twins. And the Lord, she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, to Rebekah, the mother, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now this is opposite to what was usual. In fact, in the Hebrew family, the firstborn always was the spiritual leader of the family. And that's called the birthright. And but here you have a prophecy being given to the mother before the birth of the children that the elder would serve the younger. And then when you go on down the 24th through the 28th verse, you see, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he needed of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So here you have the story of the two boys and how different they were. They were not identical twins. When it talked about Jacob being a plain man, the word literally means perfect, quiet, or harmless. This is what he was, man, whereas Esau was this cunning hunter and a man of the field. This, again, you see the beginning of their problems, 28, that Isaac loved Esau because he ate his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And this is not unlike many families where their favorite family favorites of father and mother, and sometimes how they're spoiled and some of the problems that come about as a result of that. But in this particular chapter, beginning at the 29th verse, we get the difference between the two young men, too, how that Jacob sawed or cooked pottage, which, all commentators believe was probably lentil soup. And it said that Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, of that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at a point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he to eat and drank, rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The birthright was spiritual. Later on when in the story, when you find out when it came to the blessing, that was temporal or had to do with physical money and so forth. But the birthright was spiritual. Esau should have been the spiritual leader of the family by being the firstborn. It sounds to us a little bit like Jacob was hard and tough, but I think he probably knew his brother. And in fact, the Hebrew for feed me, I pray thee, when he talked about his lentils, he said, let me swallow some of this. And it would sound like just animal-like in the case of Esau. And when you get into the New Testament, you find that that it calls Esau profane. In other words, that he did not consider the spiritual birthright and position he had before God, and he sold it and lightly sold it. That he did not, in the meaning he really did not care anything about it. It says that he despised it. And then later in the 27th chapter, there the whole chapter is devoted to this. But a lot of people find this to be a very troubling portion of Scripture. And when you read it on the face, it does sound troubling. In other words, you have Isaac telling Esau, I'd love to have you go into the and hunt and kill a deer and bring it in and cook it and serve it to me. And so his wife heard him make that request. And so she got in touch with Jacob and said, go out among the kids and kill them and bring these kids to me. We'll kill them and I'll go ahead and make the savory stew or something that Isaac wanted, and let him bless you. And he said, well, I'm smooth and he's hairy. So she took some of the skins with the hair and put them on his neck and put them on his hands. And so that when Isaac, who was nearly blind, felt of him, that he thought he was dealing with Esau. And we all know how that Isaac blessed Jacob, and he went out, and immediately after he went out, Esau came in from the hunt, made the savory meat that he wanted, and came, and Isaac was said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau." And Isaac was troubled very exceedingly. The Hebrew there says he was afraid of Esau. In other words, not troubled by the fact that he had given the blessing so much, but he was actually afraid of Esau. And so anyway, the thing that we see here as it goes on, it says that Esau cried, and he said, "Don't you have a blessing for me too?" And so Isaac did bless him. And but it said here that in the 40th verse, he said, "By thy sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from your neck." And said, "For Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.'" So you see the nature of this man, that what he was like, and said that he was going to kill him. The thing that we see again in the scriptures is that it was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So, in other words, it was some hearing on the part of Isaac that caused this blessing to be given. And so as a result, we have to believe it was right. Many times there are things that are that the Old Testament is silent on, but in the New Testament, it explains what went on and gives the motives and all the things that were behind these things. So as a result, we have to say, well, God was right. And no matter how it seemed like how it was done at the particular time, God was right, and he did the right thing. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 16th and 17th verses, he said, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau." Here you see now in the Old Testament, it didn't tell you that he was profane and a fornicator, but here now, through inspiration, it was saying that he was not a good man, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. "For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." We've talked different times about this, but I'll remind you, that's what I'm reminding myself, that you take the word repentance, and it means change of mind. The way you read this in Genesis, Esau lifted up his voice and wept and begged his father and tried to get his father to change his mind about blessing him. So what we see here, it was not Esau who could not change his mind, but it was Esau who could not change his father's mind. In other words, it sounds as though he tried to repent and couldn't. That's not possible. If anybody wants to repent, reform, or have change of mind, they can. And so so what is, to paraphrase this, it says, "We know how afterward he would have inherited the blessing." This was physical. He was rejected, for he found no way to change his father's mind, though he sought the inheritance carefully with tears. In fact, that's what it says here. He cried, and he said, "Father, don't you have a blessing for me?" So he tried to change his father's mind, but his father's mind was made up by faith, and he could not change it. To me, as I look at this whole story here, it was Isaac's flesh said, "Bless Esau," but the spiritual side of God's faith caused him to bless Jacob instead. And as we look at the story, we're not to concentrate on Jacob's apparent fraud, but we're to think about Isaac's faith. Because that's what it says. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So it was his faith, it was Isaac's faith that caused him to bless. In fact, in some of the commentaries that we read, especially the Jewish commentaries, it says that they believed that Isaac had an inkling that it was Jacob all the time, and he was relieved when he realized that he was giving the blessing to Jacob and not to Esau. So what you see here is faith on the part of Isaac overcame all plans. The fleshly plans of Rebekah, the fleshly plans of Jacob, the fleshly plans of Esau. Faith overcame this. So this story is a story of one of the part of the one story of the overcomers through faith. Later on in the scriptures, beginning in the 48th of Genesis, we have, well, what it says in Hebrews first, it was by faith that Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. This is a very strange story too, because you have the blessing again being passed out, and this time it's in the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis. And you have the story of Joseph. After these things, it was one told Joseph, before, behold, your father sick, Jacob. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob, and he said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon his bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And he went on and talked about Joseph's son. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, these are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel, that is Jacob, were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also your son's face. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left upon Manasseh, guiding his hands wittingly. He knew what he was doing, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God. And then he went on and blessed the boys. But Joseph didn't like it, because Isaac blessed the wrong children in his eyes. But it was through faith that he knew. He said he guided his hands wittingly. He knew what he was doing. So it was by faith that Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, each one separately. And so Joseph was insisting on the will of man, but the blessing came through the will of God. So I think this was very interesting that this happened this way. And in fact, the latter part of that verse in Hebrews said that Jacob worshipped leaning upon his cane. And the 47th chapter of Genesis, And there at the 31st verse, it says, he said, swear unto me, and he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. But the Companion Bible and others said he bowed himself upon his staff, which was the sign of his authority and his right to pass out these blessings. So it's so interesting here to me to see these things that really were contrary to the way that things were done. In other words, blessing Jacob over Esau, and now blessing Ephraim over Manasseh. But it was by faith that this was done. They heard. Isaac guided his, or Jacob rather, guided his hands wittingly from the oldest to the youngest. So you see here, we have overcoming. We have the will of man, things that people were trying to do on their own, and through faith, God led them in another way. They were overcomers. They overcame the will of man to do the will of God. The second pair of overcomers that is listed here is the story of Moses' parents and Moses. In the 23rd verse of Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. You remember that Pharaoh realized the Israelites in their captivity were becoming so numerous, they ordered that all male children should be killed. But Moses' parents, realizing that he was a proper child, a wonderful, beautiful child, they hid him as long as they could. And this story is in the second chapter of the book of Exodus, and is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible about how she finally could no longer keep him and put him in a little ark of bulrushes and put him in the along the river. And Pharaoh's daughter coming to bathe saw the child, and she adopted him as her own son. And he became Pharaoh's daughter. He became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so it was. He had privilege. He had power. He had position. He had, you might say, anything that he wanted. But what we see here is that the parents were not afraid of the king's commandment. And in the scriptures, Jesus told us not to be afraid of what men could do to us. He said, we're physical beings, and all anybody can ever do to us is kill us. That's the worst they can do to us, is kill us. So don't be afraid of that. That's Luke 12, 4 and 5. I say unto you, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into Gehenna. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. In other words, if we lose our lives now and we're in the faith, in the family of God, we have hope of life to come. They can't take that away from us. So he said, don't fear man. In fact, another example of this was also in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter and the 29th verse, when Peter and John were ordered not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, should we obey God or man? He said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So that's what you see in Moses' parents overcoming the fear of man. They were not afraid of Pharaoh. We realize in the world in which we live that we could be arrested and tried and punished, even if the thing was not true. So we should fear, but I don't fear. I'm not afraid of what the government can do to me. So this is the overcoming that we're expected to do. Moses himself says by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he said he esteemed the reproach for Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured his seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover. Through faith they crossed the Red Sea, and so on. You see, in every instance, it says it was by faith. So as a result, we see that he believed God and had information from God by hearing what God had to say to him. So there were three acts that are listed here. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose, this was an act, he chose to be numbered with the children of Israel rather than being a Pharaoh himself. And said he esteemed the reproach for Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So these were three things he did. He refused, he chose, he esteemed. And finally, on the 27th, he by faith, he forsook Egypt. 28, by faith, he kept the Passover. So you see that these were how he was an overcomer. To realize that he was in a position to have had great wealth and power, ultimately reigning over one of the greatest nations on earth, the nation of Egypt. But he gave it all up through faith. He overcame this temptation, this fleshly desire that might exist in everyone to have luxury and power and riches. But he did it out of faith. We ourselves are overcomers. We have to be. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In other words, there is overcoming that we have to do, and it's through faith. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. It's our faith. We have to overcome fear. We overcome the world and its order. We overcome temptation. There are many, many things that come to us in this life that we have to overcome. All of us have health conditions. All of us have aging. All of us have lost loved ones. And there's our whole life is that of overcoming, of being able to meet things that come to us, go around them or over them, but to not allow them to overcome us. And we have this example of these two pairs of overcomers. Isaac, through faith, overcoming the will of the flesh. Jacob, through faith, overcoming the will of man. Moses' parents, through faith, overcoming the fear of man. Moses, through faith, overcoming the praise of man. These wonderful examples in this great cloud of witnesses that are trying to help us to live the way that would please God through faith.